You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, for you, Lord, are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. Amen. Amongst the myriad and moving scriptures placed before us today, we begin with that word which Paul wrote to the Philippians. Philippians, as you remember, is a prison epistle written by Paul, and yet a letter that's full of joy, a letter that's full of certainty despite circumstance. And Paul, in writing to the Christian community in Philippi, is giving an offering, and he is making an appeal. And the offering and the appeal are this: have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Paul makes this appeal. Paul gives this offering to them. Have this mind among yourselves. Be united in this reality. And Paul speaks to a people who are in conflict, and he speaks to a people, and he offers this appeal because for all of us, for any of us, it's too much. The world is too much. Life is too much, and it doesn't even have to be around us. That statement that the world is too much, that life is too much, that's often the reality that we experience in our own spirits. Take the world around us out of it. We often experience that on our own. And Paul gives to the people this word, and it's a securing word. It's a guiding word. It's a cornerstone. It's a north star. It's a fixed point. Which Paul gives: have this mind among yourselves, the nature of God, the gift of God given to us in Jesus when it's all too much, this gift which is given to them. We heard the words in the Passion, which was read for us just a moment ago. Simon, 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 behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. This word which is given to Peter in the midst of everything going on, certainly falling into the category of it's all too much. And life has a tendency to sift us, doesn't it? We're tossed around. We're disoriented. We feel this longing for a safety and security. And Jesus speaks these words to Simon, and he says his name twice, of course, one to get his attention, but also, I think, in fact, I feel certain of this, but he also speaks that word lovingly. Simon, Simon, I know that you think you have it, or at the very least you're trying to have it, but I also know that you don't have it. And in just a moment, you'll deny me three times, but that's not going to be the final word. And when you return, I will welcome you. And you will return because I have prayed for you. And I encourage you, when you return, to strengthen your brothers. Those words which are recorded in John's gospel. Jesus saying, for you and for me, as those who are among his people, Jesus saying, I have prayed for you. And we see Jesus speaking these words of love and grace necessarily to Simon Peter, the words which go out to you and to me. Simon, Simon. And imagine your own name there. That's the truth. Jesus praying for his followers. Jesus praying specifically for you. When it's all too much, Jesus saying, I've prayed for you. I have named you, I've claimed you, I've called you by name. We have this word which is given to us. How do we navigate? How do we make our way forward? How do we abide? It's given to us in Jesus who makes us his own. We recently had one of our Lenten preachers, Ken Jones, originally grew up in the Dakotas, and I was asking him about something. He grew up on a ranch, and I was asking him about something that I'd heard of some time ago, and he said, yes, in fact, it's true, and it's called grafting. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, familiar with that practice in ranching, but the long and the short of it is this. If a lamb is orphaned, obviously it can't live on its own. It can't sustain itself, but a ewe will not receive a lamb typically which is not her own. It's a deadly place for a lamb to be, a vulnerable place for a lamb to be. And there are typically sort of three different practices to try to save the lamb. One is that if a ewe is given birth to a lamb that's stillborn, they'll take the amniotic fluid, the birthing fluids, and they'll rub it on the other lamb so that the ewe might recognize it, that it might have its smell, and not only recognize it, but receive it and give life to it. And another practice, not surprisingly, which is less successful, is by force, to force a lamb upon a ewe that it might nurse from the ewe, and imbibing the milk of the ewe might begin to imbibe also her smell as well, and to be recognized by the ewe. But the other practice is called the coat method, and perhaps you've heard of this. And in the coat method, a lamb that has died, the coat, the hide from the deceased lamb is taken, and it's placed over another lamb, the lamb that's been orphaned, and that lamb is brought to the mother, and the mother will recognize that smell. The mother will receive that lamb. I share that with you on this Palm Sunday when we hear Luke's account of the Passion, the time of the Passover in Jerusalem, where hundreds of thousands of lambs would be sacrificed and would need to be sacrificed again and again, year after year. And what Jesus gives to us is not a coping mechanism. He gives to us a saving one. He gives the full and final fulfillment of that which would accomplish yours and my forgiveness, yours and my security, yours and my salvation. He covers us with himself, with his blood, with his cross, with his resurrection. What is given to you and to me, who often find ourselves in life sifted and unsure, he gives us that sure and certain place, which is the cross and the resurrection. We are covered. We are saved. We are made his own. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that through your passion, through your blood, through your cross, through your resurrection, you give us the sure and certain point for our lives and the life to come, and that you make us your own. We give you thanks and we give you praise. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.